The good thing about this is every message we preach from here at Flat Top is a Christmas message. Amen. That's the only message we got. Jesus died and gave us the gift of eternal life. He had the birthday, we got the gift. Amen. And that's all the Bible talks about from Genesis to Revelations is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming. Amen. Do you know that? It's true. I'm giving y'all time if y'all didn't know. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. We're going to talk about two people this morning. I thought it was going to be one. We are going to talk about Pontius Pilate. We're going to talk about Judas. I want to tell you this. You are not sitting in these seats by mistake this morning. This has been an ordained time. God looked down through history and knew that you would be sitting here this morning and knew this message would be preached. And all this message tonight, all this message, the title would be, "It's time to make a choice. It's time to make a choice." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been going through this life long enough now to see where there are intersections in our lives, where Jesus comes along and He gives you an opportunity to make a choice, whether you accept Him or not, whether you believe in Him or not. And after you go through that intersection, I'm not saying God won't ever deal with you again, but I will say this, your life will get a whole lot worse. Your life will get a whole lot worse. Maybe you're sitting at an intersection this morning in your life, and God's wanting to do a big work in your life, but you're going to have to make a choice. You're either going to accept Christ, or you're going to try to appease. You're going to try to please people and appease people, and you're going to try to distance yourself, and you're going to have to get out of making a decision, but in the end, you'll have to make it. And you'll have to make a choice. Then you'll have to suffer the consequences. Are you ready? The door's still open. All right. After I get through this message, I'm not going to be accountable for it. You are. You ready? Let's get into the Word. Matthew 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. And when they had bound Him, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Y'all see this? The most religious people, probably on the face of the planet at the time, bound Jesus hand and feet and took Him to the governor. That looks crazy, don't it? Religious people who worship inside the temple, who have the whole Old Testament in front of them, the Pentateuch, Moses' words, which all point to Jesus, and yet they have Jesus, but they got Him chained up. And they're taking Him to have Him judged by a Roman governor. God, it's just sick. It's just a sick thing. Here these religious people are marching the Savior, the thing that they need the most, and are trying to get rid of Him. That's the only thing you can do. You got to either accept Him or receive Him or reject Him. Amen. And they take Him down to Pontius Pilate, the governor, and they take Him early. Underline or write a note right early. Early. And write down the word governor. Governor lets stuff in. Amen? A governor regulates. Or if any race car drivers in here, if they put a governor on your motor, it can only go so fast. Because it only lets so much in. Amen? See, you're the governor of your heart right now. You're the governor of your heart. And you can let Jesus in or you can keep Him out. Amen. I guarantee today you need to rip the governor off and let Jesus in. Amen? But Pontius Pilate didn't know it, but Jesus was coming to him and he was coming to him early. It's 11 o'clock or somewhere, 11:37. Jesus is coming to you early today. He's wrapped up and He's ready for you. Are you ready for Him? Now let's put that on pause. Okay, everybody do this remote. He presented Himself to us. See thou to that. What a smart aleck answer. Amen? See what He did? Judas was one of the most pragmatic people of the New Testament. Chris, you like that word pragmatic? I mean, grasped up and right out of clean air, son. Listen, pragmatic, I don't even know what that word means. I wanted to say it. It sounded great. He reasoned, and it made sense to him, okay? Judas, it made sense to him. He said, look, Jesus wants to die. You can tell that. He's always talking about going up to Jerusalem and dying. He's speaking of that a lot. So he must want that. That's not what I want. I hear that he wants to die. I can help him with that. I can make that come to pass. And I also can secure my future. That 30 pieces of silver would have meant a good down payment on a little old house, a nice little picket fence, a little future. I mean, he was sitting there and Jesus got what he wanted and I'll get what I want. Some of you are right now are trying to bank your future on what this world can give you and not what God can give you. Some of you are looking at Jesus and you're saying, that's a death sentence to my social life. That's a death sentence to my future. And you know what? That's so far from the truth. Jesus is life and life more abundantly. It's freedom. It's peace. It's joy. It's happiness. It's the thing that you've been wanting your whole life. You just think it's going to come some other place, some other way. Probably through 30 pieces of silver. Judas had to make a decision one day. He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He seen miracles done and he performed miracles. Some of y'all say, you don't know what you're talking about. I read the Bible. Amen. He sent those people out and they done some of the same. They cast out devils. They done stuff. And you know what? He was right there amongst them. And even at the end of that, just like us, we can reason why we don't need Jesus. And we can make a deal. Let's make a deal. Amen? Now look at Judas's deal. It's an amazing deal. He goes back after he knows that he's made a mistake. He goes back to the people he was trying to please. Have you ever tried to go to the people that you've tried to please? God, I wish one real Christian in here every once in a while just say, I know what you're talking about, brother. I tried to please some people. I've tried to appease them. I've tried to make them happy by rejecting Jesus. I've tried to do everything for my friends and all of them instead of showing Christ in my life. And every time I go back, they're a disappointment. He took that 30 pieces of silver back and threw it at their feet. He knew right away the thing that he had gotten, the thing that he had secured was not very security-wise. Amen. It wasn't something that secured his soul. God. The thing the devil would want you to get, to receive. God, I wish, Dave, can I preach to you? Ain't nobody else in here listening. It won't even matter. Listen, check this out. When the devil is so good, he will sell you on something and you got to have it. Oh, I mean, you got to have it. That 30 pieces of silver, he looked at it and said, man, I got to have that. Man, that thing is amazing. I got to have it. It's what I need. Anybody in here know what that feels like? When you looked at something and said, I need that? I've looked at her before. I've looked at him before, all you girls. Amen? I looked at that car. You ever got it? Amen, I have. I drove that baby. Turned her sideways. Amen? Laid black marks. Amen? But I've also been there where it was a piece of junk. I've also been there where she was crazy. I ain't never been there where he's crazy, but I bet some of you have just by looking at you. Amen. That's what Judas did. He found out real quick, nothing takes the place of Jesus. And usually it don't take very long. Usually it don't take very long. As soon as Jesus was out of his life, he knew he was the most miserable man on the face of the planet. I got this silver, but I don't have that thing that I had. That thing when I was close to it, that Jesus when I was close to him, there was peace, there was joy, there was happiness, there was no judgment. There was things that I just can't explain. Some of you are going to be raised in the church, and you're going to say, man, church is good, Jesus is good. But then somehow the world and the devil is going to show you something, and you're going to walk away from this, and you're not going to have the thing that you need. But you're going to find out real quick that doesn't satisfy. All the women in the world, all the stuff in the world, all the men in the world, everything the world will tell you is going to make you happy. Matter of fact, all the people that tell you that are going to make you happy, they're the most miserable people on the face of the planet. The people you're watching on TV, you say, man, they got life figured out. They've had more divorces than you. They're strung out on drugs more than you. They're not happy. They're not even close to being happy. And most of them, if you would went back to them, and, oh, I'm preaching, amen. If you could go back to them today and ask them, when did it go wrong? They said, when I was a young child, when I was just a kid, I had an opportunity to use talents, gifts, and abilities for Jesus, but I didn't. And I went after the world and I chased it. And the world always gives back the same thing that it gave Judas. We can't help you. You deal with that matter. You deal with that. I'm really down. I'm really desperate. I'm really struggling. You deal with that. That's what the world says. When it gets done with you and it's finished with you, it looks at you and says, you deal with that. We gave you the good. Now what, there's nothing left. See, the good thing about Jesus, he gets better and better and better and better. You need to ask some of the adults in here. And I'm talking about some of the adults who are 90 and 80 and 70 who have been saved for a great long while. And ask them, say, is Jesus good? And they'll say to you every time, he's gotten better and better and better and better. And anybody that's that old and don't have Jesus, they'll just tell you the same thing. You don't get no better. With the same look I had. I love this. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. What in the world? What in the world? When I read this stuff, it almost makes me laugh because that's how religious people do. They'll pay 30 pieces of silver to betray Christ, but they won't put it back in the treasury because it betrayed blood. Man, if you're just going on religion, you're going to wear yourself slap out. When do I? What, did I wear the right thing? Did I say the right thing? Did I pray the right time? Did I show up this? Did I do that? Praise God, I'm glad Jesus set you free and doesn't lock you down. Because blood money will come back to you and you'll have a meeting about what to do with the blood money. What do we do with the blood money? Do we do this or do we do that with it? Praise God, I wish we didn't have to deal with the blood money. Amen? Check this out. What is it by? Verse 7, and they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. There, wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Did I read y'all the part where he died? Did I read that? I didn't, did I? Verse 5, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Before Jesus died. Before Jesus died. What a great plan. Do you know that Jesus is still alive and all the apostles are still alive too? You know he sold out for 30 pieces of silver. He was making a plan to take care of the rest of his life. The rest of your life without Jesus ends up hanging on a tree. The money that you sold out for, man, I can preach. Man, I was going to preach Pontius Pilate more than I was going to preach Judas, but here we are, right? You know what his plan bought him? Man, I'm serious. He said, you know what? I'm going to have a nice house. I'm going to have a garden. I'm going to have a fence. I'm going to have a wife. I'm going to have kids. I'm going to have all this stuff. And you know what he ended up with? A stinking graveyard. How would you like to know that all your stuff is going to end up in some kind of graveyard? It is. It is. A lot of times it's called the dump. Amen? Have you ever seen somebody that's fallen in love with stuff? Usually they put it in an outbuilding. And they talk about the stuff. And then about 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 years, somebody opens that thing and takes it down to the dump or the Goodwill and drops it off. Oh, never mind. Stop living for your stuff. And start living for Jesus. Because the stuff's going to die. And you'll probably die before it. Ouch. I'm just preaching truth. So what is a good Christmas story? Well, there's good news in the Christmas story. Amen? Get saved. The present's always there. The present was always there for Judas. He just kept rejecting it because he thought he had a better plan. Some of you sitting in here this morning, you think you got a better plan. Some of y'all's plan exists this. I'm going to wait till I'm 20, or I'll wait till I'm 30, or I'll wait till I'm 40 to surrender my life to God and give Him the rest of it. Don't do that. Because if you ever do surrender to God, which you might not, but if you ever do, the only thing you're going to wish for is if you could have went back to your 16, 20, or 25-year-old self and surrendered earlier and done more. You'll never regret what you did for Jesus. You're only going to regret what you didn't do. Some of you are sitting here going, but I'm too young. I've got a life to live. Praise God, we need you. This church needs you. We need young people. We need young adults. We need you, man. We need you to lay down everything and come and fight for Jesus in this community. Well, you don't know, I'm busy. Stop being so stinking busy and get in here and serve God with us. Am I still telling a Christmas story? Verse 9. Let's switch back. Put pause on that. Click. Let's push play on Pontius Pilate. Then was fulfilled, which was spoken about by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took 30 pieces of silver in the price of him that was valued, whom the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, and the Lord appointed them. Verse 11, now we're on play. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. Jesus is cooler than the other side of the pillow. I mean, this dude is sweet cool. I don't care if y'all don't like the way I talk about Jesus. He's my friend. Amen. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, amen? He's my big brother. He's the King of Kings, amen? Lord of Lords. I can talk to him about the way I want to, amen? I'm not so religious. I know who my big brother is, and if I get in a big fight and I can't handle it, I always call him my big brother. But Jesus is so good. He's standing for a governor, and he's a king. If you don't know, that don't mesh. And he's asking him questions, and he's saying, who are you, the King of the Jews? He said, thou sayest. He looks at him and says, well, you know it. Amen. Listen, I don't care what anybody, Chris, I don't care what anybody says. Everybody knows who Jesus is. Everybody does. Everybody knows. Jesus made you. He formed you in the womb. He created you. Amen. Now, you can reject him and you can act like you don't believe in him. You can act like you don't know who he is. But every time you get in the presence of him, he makes your heart jump. He makes you feel that thing. People who got saved says, I don't know what happened. I just came forward. I don't know what happened. This just happened. I tell you what happened. The Jesus thing in you happened. Amen. It pulled you to the thing that created you. Amen. It's the thing that made you, called you. And when the thing that makes you calls you, you come. You either come or you don't come, but you have to do something with him. Amen. Pontius said, are you him? He said, you say it. You know it. Pontius Pilate, he's so cool. His wife told him in a dream, said, I had a dream about this man. Don't you mess with him. Amen? Sometimes we need to listen to our wives. Amen? I mean, sometimes I'm serious. I'm being honest with you. Sometimes my wife listens to the Lord. Sometimes when I'm trying to do, y'all, some of you men need to write that down. So sometimes we get so busy trying to do, our wives are listening, and they come to us and say something like, don't do that. Woman, you don't know what you're doing, man. I'm going to fix this. Amen? Well, after you break it again. Amen? Remember I told you. She told him, don't mess with him. Amen? I've had a dream about this man. This is the real deal. Honey, this is the chance of your lifetime. I know you're a governor. I know you're a big deal. But this thing that's coming before you is a bigger deal. Some of you are governors. Some of y'all think you're a big deal. Right now you're a big deal, but guess what? Jesus is a bigger deal, and he's getting in front of you this morning. You better make a decision. We already taught about a man who thought, you know what, I'll take my life under control, and he was hanging on a tree before the end of the day. Amen. Now we're talking about a man who is a governor. He thought, you know what, I can handle my life better than Jesus can. So he asked him questions. Do you have questions about Jesus? Good. He'll answer every one of them. Amen. And when he accused the chief priest and elders, he answered nothing. And when he was accused of the chief priest and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things the witnesses against thee? Verse 14, and he answered him, and never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. He marveled because Jesus weren't saying a word. I mean, he was sitting here, and you know, I think he'd probably sit in on so many executions that somebody's always got something to say. Amen? And it was cool because, see, Jesus, the Bible says it like this, a fool uttereth his whole mind, and a wise man keepeth it unto the end. So, all of a sudden, man, I mean, Jesus, he expected a great defense, and Jesus' great defense is, I'm standing here, and I am God. So good. And they're just railing on him and accusing him and accusing him. And he's standing there, and Pontius Pilate is looking at him and going, this is a powerful man. I can understand who this is. But he still wouldn't accept who he was. It's okay to understand that Jesus is God, but it's another thing to choose him as the Lord or God of your life. You can know him. The devils know him. They never put themselves under his authority. They know him. But he's not the Lord of their life. Is he the Lord of your life? It's very simple to find out if Jesus is the Lord of your life. He tells you what to do and you do it.
Amen.
If it don't work that way, then he's not.
Yeah.
Y'all ready? What's this? Verse 14. And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Verse 15. Now at the feast of the governors was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto him, Who will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew, for the envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered, said unto them, Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with this Jesus which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? They cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that remaineth a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. No, he's not. So give me some water. I'm going to wash my hands. He's still guilty. You can do all the ritualistic stuff you want to do. You can try to appease people. Do y'all know what? I'll give you a couple things what he did. When Jesus first came to him, he questioned him. Then he sent him away. He sent him to King Herod. Because he found out Herod, he was in Herod's jurisdiction. So he said, you know what I'll do with him? I'll get rid of him. See, you try to do that. Some of you sitting right here in this very auditorium this morning, some of you tried to get away from Jesus. Some of y'all made the mistake. You thought you were going to come to church here this morning and we were going to give you some watered-down, sugar-coated, cotton-candy message. And you walked right into God's love for you again. His trap. You walked straight up into it. Surprise. He said, oh, send him to Herod. He sent him to Herod. And guess what he did? He came back. Rondell, he came back. He seen him coming back too. Jesus is like, oh gosh, here comes Jesus. He came back and he's standing there and he's got a robe on and he's standing there and he's like, what am I going to do with this guy? So then he done another thing. He tried to fake Jesus. He tried to fake the crowd out. He tried to appease him. He said, wait a minute, I know what they'll do. I'll do something that there's no way I'll have to mess with Jesus if I give him Barabbas. Y'all need to write this down. Barabbas, most generic name in the Bible. Y'all have heard me teach on this before, but it's awesome every time you hear it. Barabbas, the son of a man. Most generic name in the Bible, son of a man. And that's the person that Jesus has put on the judgmental block with, and he takes his place. Amen? They put Barabbas, who's a murderer and a thief. Golly, bum, that's pretty hard to accept, right? He's standing up there, and they bring Barabbas out there. Can you see him? He's about half crazy. He's like, man, I'll kill you right now. And here's Jesus standing beside him who loves you, will heal you, will cast out devils, who will do all these great things for you. And he's standing there and all the people are screaming at the top of their lungs, let Barabbas go! And some of the people are sitting there going, are they serious? Is this really going to happen? And here we are in 2016 and we think those people are morons, right? But we're the same people who say, we need to get rid of these Ten Commandments. They're really hindering us. Because I don't like when it says, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not lie, and thou shalt have never gods other than God. Because if we follow those Ten Commandments, life will be so much. Yeah. But for somewhere, that's the thing we got to get rid of, because it's the thing that convicts our heart and life. See, the reason you got to get rid of a Jesus instead of a Barabbas, and the reason you got to get rid of the commandments instead of unlawfulness, is because it brings conviction. See, the thing that'll bring you to salvation is the law. I mean, when you start hearing it, guess what? You find out, because I could do it in here real quick. Have you ever told a lie? Yeah. Have you ever stole anything? Have you ever took the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever looked on a woman with lust in your heart? Or a man? Oh, man. I'm sitting in the room full of thieves, liars, blasphemers, adulterers. I don't know if I want to hang out with you people. Pontius Pilate's sitting there and he's making this decision. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? Some of y'all are going to do this morning. You're going to do it right here. You're going to reject this great opportunity to get saved once again. He goes, bring me some water. It looks good. Hey, it looked, man, you're talking about a ritual. It looked good. I mean, he's got a big seat. He's sitting in a place called the pavement. Hey, man, it's a real high seat. I mean, it's a real high. I mean, he's got a big seat. Amen. And he's sitting up there in that big seat, and he's making a decision about Jesus. Some of y'all, right now, you're sitting in a big seat, and you're about to make a decision about Jesus. And instead of accepting Christ and making everybody mad and hurting everybody's feelings, he says, you know what? Bring me some water. And he's washing his hands, and he says, I'm not going to take any responsibility for this. Yes, he's going to take all the responsibility for it. But I thought it was amazing because the Pharisees and Sadducees were sitting there. You know what they said? No, don't you take the responsibility. Put it on us and our children. Whoa. I'm going to hate to tell you this, but the decision you make this morning, it ain't only going to affect you, but it's going to affect your children. And some of you are in here going, I ain't got no children yet. Yeah, but you will have. You will have. There's a boy in here somewhere. Where's he at? Peyton. Somewhere. I can't find him. There he is. I see him now. The day that boy came out of the womb, my heart left. Amen? Nobody can tell me how to love. Nobody can tell me how to worry. Nobody can tell me to care for that boy more than I do. I care about his physical life more than anybody in this room. You couldn't come close. You couldn't come to me and say, Kevin, you need to do this with your son. One, stay arm's length distance from me. And you couldn't tell me, well, how about his soul? I love his soul. And I tell him on a regular basis, riding up down the road, I don't care what you say about your dad or your mom or your sister or about the church you attend. You better know Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul, son. And if you know Him, you better live for Him because that's what He desires out of your heart and life. And nobody wants that more than me. And I'm just a dad. There's a bunch of dads in here. There's a bunch of moms in here. And all we want for our kids are them to know Jesus. And to live for them. Nobody wants that more than us. And you better show that. You better pass that on to them. You better let them know that. By words, actions, and deeds. Amen? Because there's some 20-year-olds in here right now, or 19-year-olds, or 17-year-olds, and you're saying, well, I'll have plenty of time to make this decision. I hate to tell you, we're all on different time frames. Judas had 3 years to make the decision. Pontius Pilate's got today. Pontius Pilate said, do what you will with him. And he took him off. And they crucified Jesus. Done deal, right? Done deal. Guess what happened? About 5 minutes after they got him down there, Pontius Pilate made an order that they put on the top of the thing, the King of the Jews. It didn't say, he said he was the King of the Jews. It read, King of the Jews. Every time people walked by, there was a thief on this side and a thief on that side. And the reason they were being crucified was because they were thieves. And the reason Jesus was being crucified was because he was the King of the Jews. They knocked on Pilate's door. Just kind of like what Jesus is doing to you this morning. He's knocking on your heart's door. Who is it? Hey, what you wrote on that sign, we don't like that. You appeased us and you made us feel good by crucifying Jesus. Will you please take the sign down now? Can I preach to somebody in here? If you give an inch, you'll have to give a mile. Every time you give away some part of Jesus or some part of doing right, guess what? This world will take a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Hey, you killed Jesus. Do you mind taking the sign down now? He says something cool. I don't know where he got this backbone at, but all of a sudden he says, what's written? It's written. Get out of here. I'm tired of dealing with this Jesus. I thought I already got rid of him. Some of you thought you already washed your hands of Jesus. You went through Sunday school. You went through youth group. You sat in this church. He's knocking your heart's door down again today. A little bit later, they come knocking on the door. Who is that? Hey, there's some, they're wanting to know what you want to do with them on the cross. What do you want to do with them? Well, just break their legs and get them off there. There's a religious feast coming up. Just get them off there. Okay. Hey, Jesus is dead already. Really? And this is not verbatim, but he says, really? I thought he would have lived longer. Never mind. And then knock, door, knock, 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 knock. Then there's one, Joseph Armenia there. Nobody's seen this guy coming. He was a businessman, but he was a Christian. And nobody knew it. You know, Jesus has got people who will even when you won't. You need to write that down because some of y'all think this ship will sink without you. The old gospel ship, it looks like it's got some holes in it. The thing's weathered and it looks rough, but that baby ain't going to stop sailing until Jesus comes back. Joseph Armenia's a cool cat, man. He comes in and goes, I'm a businessman and I love Jesus and I want that body. I want that body. And he goes, who you got with you there? That's my friend Nick. Nick who? Nicodemus. Amen. He came to Jesus by night, but he's no longer standing in the dark. He's standing in the light with me. Amen? He brought a bunch of herbs and spices. He's going to do Jesus' body upright. Amen? That rhymed, didn't it? Thank you. That didn't cost you nothing. Amen? Check this out. And he's messed up because he's like, why do you want him? See, God always has people come and it brings conviction, more conviction, more conviction. Because now Pontius Pilate's like, hey, there was a businessman and there was this Pharisee who loved him. But I didn't love him. I rejected him. Some of y'all are rejecting him for the very last time once again here this morning. Oh, I'll come back next time. Or when my friends are not right with me. Or when I get home. You ain't got that promise. Amen. I ain't threatening you. I'm just telling you, if God's drawing on your heart, you should have already been in this altar. So all of a sudden, he's like, okay, well, take the body. Take him. Take him. And don't come back here. I'm tired of dealing with this Jesus. Some of you are tired of me preaching. Some of you are tired of being here this morning. But after in about 5 more minutes from now, I'm not going to be accountable for this message. You are. I'm going to sleep good tonight. Knock on the door. Man. Who is it? Who, what? Hey, you better give us a guard detail. Because you know what's going to happen. These Jesus people are going to come and take the body, and then they're going to say he's all resurrected and everything. And then it's going to, will you give us a guard detail? Take a guard detail. I'm so tired of dealing with this Jesus, man. I thought I washed my hands of him. He's gone. He's gone. Those apostles went down there and they did something and they took the body of Christ. You mean the same apostles who ran and flee and were scared and didn't do anything and let him be crucified? They came all of a sudden, got a boldness and rolled away the stone and took him. That's what happened. Yes, sir. Yes, that's what happened. See, there was a time when Jesus when Pontius Pilate was questioning Jesus, he asked him, he said, do you not know who I am? I have the power. God, never mind. I might preach another 30 minutes. You never know. He said, do you not know I have the power to either let you live or let you die? You know what Jesus said? You have no power except what was given unto you. He said, if this was my kingdom, I could call 10,000. Man, every time I preach this, I think we forget the weight or the velocity of what heaven is. It was crazy enough when Jesus became microscopic and got in the womb. Every angel in heaven said, what are we doing? We took heaven and put it in a womb. Because heaven ain't heaven without Jesus. God. Everything we got's in the womb of a virgin girl right now. But we would love for that baby to stay in the manger, but it didn't. It got on a cross. And every angel in heaven stood with swords drawn, waiting for the word. If our king says go, we go. But if he don't call, we'll stand here waiting. God. Standing there. I could have called 10,000 angels, but I didn't call not one of them. I told him that. Guess what happened? Remember that big seat, place called the pavement, seat of judgment? Remember when we washed the hands of Jesus? I don't know how long Pontius Pilate lived. I don't know how long he lived. But the very day that he died, he got to meet somebody at the judgment seat. He looked at him and he said, I've seen you before. Yes, you have. One day I stood in your court and you washed your hands of me. Now you're standing in my court. The one that you knew existed. The one that you knew in your heart. The one your wife told you about. The one when I dealt with your heart. Remember? That's where you're standing. You're standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Some of y'all are sitting there going, what's that got to do with me? As we all stand and say, come get a song of invitation. In 100 years from now, in 100 years from now, I'll say it again. In 100 years from now, everybody in this room, in 110 years from now, because I just thought about Peyton. But everybody that can hear this message and are accountable for it, in 100 years from now, you will have stood before that same judgment seat. And you're going to be accountable for this message this morning. Did you wash your hands of Christ? No, I don't want to let him in my life. I don't want him to be the Lord of my life. I don't want him to save me. Are you just going to wash that away this morning? Or are you going to forget who's sitting beside you, in front of you, and wherever, and just step out and come up here and cry out to God and give him your soul and give him your future and give him your eternity? Because you've got an opportunity this morning and you're not here by mistake. I hate to tell you, if you reject this and you're not saved, you'll get to hear this thing replayed for eternity in your heart and mind. As they sing a song of invitation, I'll stand right down here. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you don't need me to, just walk on by and grab you a spot on this altar. But if you need salvation, I would love to pray with you as they play a song of invitation.